First John chapter 1, scripture reading today, verses 5 through chapter 2 and verse 2. If you don't have a Bible, the scripture will be up on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of your Son. Awaken our souls. Thrill us with the forgiving power that you and you alone possess through the sacrifice you gave of your Son, who also was the light and is the light. I'm thankful, Father, that in your church you always leave a remnant. All over this country and this world, there's a remnant of those whom you have awakened. Today, as we approach this passage, may we who are walking with you be thrilled with the assurance of our faith, and maybe some here today will be awakened to the fact that they truly do not possess eternal life because they say, but they do not do. God, awaken Living Hope Church. Awaken us. I pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen. We will not get done with this passage today at all. So we're just going to start. Sometimes I catch myself talking so fast, and I go home on Sunday and say, Tim, you got to slow down. So I'm going to try to slow down today, and we'll go as far as the Lord takes us to bring out what the text says, and then finish it next week or the next week. It's an amazing passage. This is a passage that I struggled with all week long. You may not realize that. You think preachers just get in their study and it's just simple. It is not. I have agonized and struggled. What does this mean? What does this mean? And prayed and studied. And I trust that the Spirit of God has directed me to bring out what's in the Word and not put in what is not there. I entitled this message, Our God, Our Mouth, Our Life, and Our Assurance. You can tell with that title, I struggled with it, right? I had to get it all in there. But I think that it covers it. You know, As you think about the Christian life, there is a part of our life that is inseparable from our Christian life. And it's probably a part you never thought of. It is a part that you received when you were conceived in your mother's womb. And you will even carry it in your physical body when your physical body is in a casket and in a tomb in the ground somewhere. It will still be with you until the resurrection. You know what that is? It's sin. You received sin when you were conceived, and even when you die, and if you're truly born again today, and you are absent from the body and present with the Lord, your body that is left here will still bear the marks of sin until when? The resurrection. you and I cannot remove sin from our lives. Now that's an exciting thing, isn't it, to hear? Do you know in these verses, chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 2, sin and darkness and unrighteousness is listed 12 times. In a couple of verses, John wrote it down 3 times. It's verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9 3 times, verse 10, verse 1 of chapter 2 once, and 3 times. Actually, 4 times, or twice in verse 1 of chapter 2 and twice in verse 2. So we know right away from that simple observation that we are talking today about sin. And when the Holy Spirit awakened your soul and gave you life and gave me life, the power of sin, Romans 6, was defeated, was destroyed on the cross, but sin still remains. We just sang, one thing remains, the love of God. But sin is still in your life. It has not been eradicated, though the power of it, Romans 6, was defeated. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, it's very clear that it still hangs around. In fact, let me read that here real quick just so we know that. In Romans 6, he's talking about the power of Christ over sin. Then he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as to those who have been brought from death to life, your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under law but under grace. Why do you have to write that? Because though the power to clutch you with sin has been defeated, sin still hangs around and is a monster that wants to control you and run your life. So when addressing this topic of 1 John with assurance to know that you truly are a child of God, you cannot avoid addressing the topic of sin. And while some churches will not talk about sin because people may not come anymore, if you truly reveal the scriptures, you cannot avoid the topic 12 times. In just these few verses. And there can be no assurance of our salvation today if you and I, if our mouth doesn't match our life. And that's what I think John is talking about here. And you know, I was thinking of this in Jude. It talks about those will be in everlasting darkness. It's easy to come to church and sit and think, well, he'll be done in a minute. I can endure this. I can sit through this, and then I'll have my roast beef and or my Mexican food wherever I go. But to realize that everlasting life or everlasting darkness is hinging upon the very breath of God, it ought to make us sit up and go, whoa, this is important. The children in my home are responsible to the light of the world. This is important. Am I truly a child of God? This is important. And I hope we will approach this book and this passage with on the edge of our seat. What does God say? What does God say? I hope we have that heart. What does God say about this? How can I know I'm truly saved? That's why John wrote this chapter 5, verse 13. This is so you can know these things I have written that you may know that you have eternal life. So John gives us in these verses 3 hypothetical situations that all start with if we say. Verse 6, if we say. Verse 8, if we say. Verse 10, if we say. So there's 3 hypothetical situations. Maybe John heard people talking about this. Maybe some of the false teachers had been talking about this. So if he brings it up and it's hypothetical, to me it means it's already happened or really could happen. So the outline hinges on these 3 statements, but after each negative statement, he adds a proper positive statement of biblical truth. First of all, though, he talks about the message. Look at verse 5 as we begin. John says, this is the message. We have heard from him, and we proclaim it to you that God is light, and in him, in God, is no darkness whatsoever. This is the foundational verse, I think, of these verses we're going to see today and next week. That he wants us to know that God is light, and God's true children will be like him. because he makes them so, which we'll see later in our study of 1 John. But notice what John tells us. God is light. God is light. God is pure. God is perfect. God is holy in his person, his essence, his nature, his quality, and all he does, every motive, every person. God is pure. God is light. One Greek scholar said, physically, it represents glory. Intellectually, it represents his truth. And morally, it represents holiness. God is light. Now look, where did he get this from? Look back at verse 5. John says, this is what we heard Jesus talking about all the time. By the way, in the Greek, it's present tense. This is what we have heard. In fact, heard is perfect tense, which means it happened here and the results just keep going and never quit. In other words, it's still ringing in their ear. This is what Jesus preached, and what he preached was so powerful, it's still burning in my heart. So John says, every day we walked with Jesus, we were out in the wheat fields, we were down by the River Jordan, wherever we were, this is what Jesus taught us, that his Father, God, is pure, perfect, holy, no darkness whatsoever. You know, you hear people in our day say, well, the God of the Old Testament, Jesus didn't quite agree with him. I know God taught this in the Old Testament, but Jesus is more loving. Jesus isn't really that concerned on how you live. I've heard people say that. Unbelievable. Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian. It's just absolutely, you know, well, God said that, but Jesus, he just wants you to love each other. Wait a minute. What was the message Jesus preached? My Father is light, pure, holy, no sin, no darkness whatsoever. So if God taught it, believed it in the old covenant, God the Father believes it, taught it in the New Testament. And I realize that Jesus fulfilled some of that Old Testament because it's all about Jesus. But God the Father and Jesus are in perfect harmony and fellowship. Didn't we see that last week? So he says, Jesus told us all the time, our God is perfect. Our God. And I love how he says here that Jesus always said, listen, guys. And there's Judas listening too, right? There's all the apostles. Listen, God is light, but inside God, his person, his essence, his nature, there is no darkness at all. No darkness. I love the literal Greek. And darkness in him not is not at all. Now that doesn't flow, but it sure makes sense to me. I love that. And darkness in him, not. God, is there any darkness? Not. Not at all. Now, in English, you're not supposed to use double negatives. But in Greek, it emphasizes an amazing truth. Jesus wanted his followers to know that my Father, your Father, is absolutely pure and holy. And there is no darkness. No, not, never, 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 not, no. Put as many no's as you want there. You'll be absolutely accurate and true. Darkness here obviously refers to sin. Evil thoughts, motives, and actions. Well, the God of the Old Testament was pretty mean. Jesus, he really doesn't care. Just do some good things. You know, give some money to the Gideons. Jesus doesn't care if you go home and do this, that, or the other because you gave to the Gideons. No, my God is light. There is no darkness. Jesus and the Father are one in essence. I believe it's John 8:58. Darkness here refers to sin, evil thoughts, evil motives, evil actions. Not one little bit of evil. And in our day, many people claim God is not perfect. His laws are outdated. His principles are outdated. His gospel isn't binding to us. His word is wrong. It's full of errors. It's not inerrant. It might have been good for your grandma. Wasn't there an old hymn? Good for my mammy and my pappy is good enough for me or something like that. It was okay for grandma. But it's kind of out of date today. It's what some people teach. I couldn't help to, I was doing dishes, my favorite pastime. And I flipped on the little TV and just so I wasn't too miserable. And there was some kind of telethon on for flood, the hurricane victims, which is awesome. And it was done by celebrities and actors and singers and popular people, you know, and they're talking about all give, which is awesome. Great. Awesome and wonderful and give and help people. That is amazing. Great. But I got to thinking, if you ask the majority of those people on that show, if they agreed with what God said about A, B, C, D, my guess is the majority would say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because there's a mindset that God is not God. God is not light. God is not pure. And it really doesn't matter what God says anymore. Oh, I can do some good things. How sad. Jesus says, God is light. You know, I thought, how could I illustrate this? So here's how I decided to do it. I want to give you a mission. I want you to get to Florida if you can. And I want you to get an eyedropper, just a little eyedropper. And I want you to fill it with every dirt, gunk, scum, filth, everything, garbage you can find. Mix it up and suck it into that eyedropper. And I want you to rent a boat that will take you out into the middle of whatever ocean is in Florida. Pacific? No, Atlantic. Atlantic, sorry. Yeah, west. Okay, east. Got it. You take and go as deep, the deepest part as you possibly can. Stop the boat, and I want you to lean over the side of the boat, and I want you to take that eyedropper and just drop one little drop. Not even the full eyedropper. Just drop one little. That's all I want you to do. You look around and why isn't CNN here? Where's Fox? Where's Fox News? Why aren't there reporters? I just put this filth into this huge, vast ocean, this little tiny drop. If you did that, nothing would happen to the ocean. Nothing, right? Nothing. News wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be in the paper tomorrow. Nobody's going to put on Facebook and it goes viral. Can you believe? Can you believe that Stephen Eberhard took a boat and put one little into the ocean of filth and dirt and our world is coming to an end? What are we going to do? The food supply is gone. The sky is falling. It would have no effect whatsoever, right? Nothing. Wouldn't matter. Nobody would even know you went there. Just be you wasted your money on that boat. But do you know that if God, the light, had one tiny drop of sin, one tiny drop, in his vast person, that he would cease to be God. He would no longer be God. We could not trust him. He would not be dependable, for he would be sin if he just had one little tiny drop. God is light. And this is the message that bleeds into the rest of this text. That if we don't get this first point, we might as well say amen, sing a song, get a donut, and leave. No, there's no donuts here. And remember when God gave Isaiah the vision of the throne? And Isaiah is there in Isaiah chapter 6. And what was the first thought that came to Isaiah? Holy, holy, holy. It wasn't big, big, big. Holy, holy. What was the second thought? I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so the one we have fellowship that we saw last week in verse 3 of 1 John is the light. And remember, our fellowship is with the apostles because they have fellowship with the Father. We get the message of the gospel through them. That life-changing message changes us. We then walk in the light. We have joy when other people walk in it. It's all connected here in 1 John. And the one you and I have fellowship with is the one who does not have one tiny drop of evil. Not a tiny drop. So if I say I'm good with God, my life is full of evil, we've got a problem. A terrible problem. He is absolute perfection. So now John proceeds to the if we say statements. Now we'll just go until. Look at verses 6 and 7. Here's the first statement. If we say we have fellowship with him, koinonia, a sharing in common, an intimate sharing in common, with who though? With purity, perfection, and light. If our mouth is saying, oh yeah, I'm intimate with God, me and a man upstairs are tight. And by the way, I hate that phrase, the man upstairs. And I don't like Mother Nature either. Those are all degrading God the Father, Creator. But I say that, you know, me and the God are good. We got a thing going. And my mouth is saying that, but my life is saying drop of evil or a lot of evil. The hypocrisy. If we say we have this intimate fellowship, his light is entering my life, and now I am reflecting his light, and there's light, and my motives have been changed, and my purpose has been changed, and I love God's people, and I love God's word, and I'm burned in my heart when I sin, and I always see my sin, which we'll talk about here either later today or next week. I've been changed. If I say I've got fellowship with him, but notice, while we walk, walks in the present subjective, if we should walk in this way continually, if our life is what? In darkness. What is darkness? The opposite of the light. Sin, evil. Now, we will sin, and we'll talk about that in chapter 2. But here's the hypocrisy. Yeah, God and I are good, but I really don't care about him. I don't care about him. I don't care about his people. I don't care about his word. I didn't pick up his word 1 minute this week and read it and say, God, speak to my heart. I thought all you had to do was walk an aisle and say a prayer. Is that what the Bible teaches? So if my present tense life walk is characterized by darkness, sin, rebellion, that which does not please God who is light, then there's hypocrisy. In fact, look here under that, we walk in darkness. I put a box around it and put it in green on my chart here. We lie and do not practice the truth. You can't say people lie today, can you? You're going to hell. Boy, we're so sensitive today about things, aren't we, that are stupid. John didn't care. If you are saying and not living, you are lying. And you do not practice present tense. The Greek word is du poieo. You are not doing truth. Because it's just all in your mouth. It's just all talk. It's just all talk. So this type of person is saying, it really doesn't matter how I live. Doesn't matter how I think. Doesn't matter what my motives are. Doesn't matter my actions, my words, my purpose. As long as I know some factual truths about God and Jesus, it doesn't really matter. That's not what John says. If we say we are close, intimate with God through the apostles' message, the life-changing message, but my life is full of sin and darkness, I am lying and I am not practicing aletheia truth. That's serious, folks. Serious. Now, here's the struggle I had with this text. Who's John talking about? Is he talking about somebody who thinks they're saved and they're not? Or is he talking about somebody who truly is saved but has just kind of grown apathetic and cold? Well, I'll give you my answer. I ain't sure. All week struggling. I think it could be both. But I think the greater emphasis it possibly here is on those that truly think they're saved, but they are not. Yes, a believer can sin. Yes, a believer can get off track. Yes, a believer can grow apathetic. Yes, a believer cannot open his Bible all week. But those are scary grounds. Especially if there's an arrogance and says, oh yeah, I know Jesus. I knew somebody whose life was constant sin. It was unbelievable. They lied, they deceived, they stole from people, they committed adultery. You wouldn't believe it. They committed felonies, and they got caught, and they got put in jail. I went to visit the person. I've witnessed to three people today, and three people got saved. And I'm looking at this person going, I'm thinking, what message are you telling these people? John would say, whoa. Now, if that person did share the true gospel, could God do a miracle and save a person? Oh, yes. I think John would say, hey, person, if you say you have fellowship with him and you're walking in darkness, you're lying and you're not doing the truth. Pilgrim's Progress has a character in it named Talkative. Quote from the book. He talketh a prayer of repentance, of faith, and of the new birth, but he knows but only to talk of them. Religion hath no place in his heart, and he hath lieth in his tongue. Talkative. You see, here's why this is so important. You and I have to face this. We may think we are having fellowship with God, and we may be lost in our sin. Or we may have grown so cold, which we'll see later in John, great judgment can come. But notice the assurances he gives here in verse 7. Because that was the, verse 6 was the negative. If you say but you don't, you're in trouble. But notice verse 7, see the word but, a contrast. But, here's the good part. But if we, here's another if we statement. If we walk, present subjective, in other words, subjunctive. In other words, if we should be walking in the light, as he is in the light, goes back to verse 5, God is light. If we walk like he is, whom we claim to be our God, we have true fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. Fellowship with one another is the first assurance that you have if you're truly a child of God. Now, here's another problem with the text. Not a problem, but a hard to figure out. And we could line up great scholars here and great scholars here, and they would differ. So once again, I'm going to go, it could mean both. Is he talking about fellowship with one another between the person and God, or between the person and other believers, or both? I tend to believe, because the context here talks about that, that he is talking about both. Because in verses 3, 4, and 5, as we saw last week, you cannot have fellowship with one another if you don't have fellowship with the Father. And when you have fellowship with the Father and the Son, you automatically have fellowship with other believers who have embraced the Father and the Son. So I think he's talking about both. So one of the assurances that you have today that you truly are walking in the light is that you love these people around you and you love being with them. What? Yes. Did you see that? We have fellowship with one another, because when you walk with God the Father, who is the light, you will love other lights for whom he has redeemed and saved and changed. That is an assurance that you truly have been changed. So a person who says, yeah, God and I are good. Yeah, we are tight. Yeah, we're tight. I wear a cross around my neck. I have a tattoo of a cross. Let me show it to you. I don't. I'm too scared. No, it hurts. It looks like it hurt. And I'm ugly enough. Okay. You know, God and I are good. But I can't stand his church. I can't tell you how many people I've heard tell me that. Not our church. Because our church is perfect, right? No. But I've had people tell me that. I know people who think they are better than God's church. And they will not go, because the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Of course it is, right? We're just redeemed, growing and changing together. But one of the assurances right off the bat that he says is that you will have a sharing in common with other human beings who were lost in their sin, and they got a Bible, and God changed their heart. Wow, we don't hear that a lot, do we? John sure brought it out, because the God who is light affects those whom he changes, and he gives them his light. If I find every excuse not to be a part of a local body of believers, if I'm always finding myself at odds with them, if I'm always critical of them, if I could care less if I'm with them or not, you cannot expect to have assurance that God has changed your life. In fact, that is a huge problem. That is a huge problem. You may not be a child of God. May not be. I cannot imagine living without God's people. This is the highlight of my week. This is why I'm so heartbroken when, you know, companies make picnics on Sunday and people go and leave and you know, grandma came over so I can't come because I got to go visit grandma. And it seems like the devil does everything he can to destroy the getting together of God's little lights. Right? But all over the world, people are hiding in places to get together because the country they live in will persecute them for doing it. And they now see what a privilege it is. But we have been so blessed, we come or leave, it doesn't matter. Right? Be honest, we come or leave, it doesn't matter. How many of you came here today, we're going to hear God's word, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, this guy up here is not a perfect preacher by any means, and he's not the smartest whatever. We're going to hear God's word. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you came expecting and anticipating? How many of you today had to just pull yourself out of bed? Do not answer that question. And you know, I can be just as guilty. You know, I don't preach at you. I can be just as guilty. So right away he says, if we should be walking according to the light who has no darkness, we will have fellowship one with another, with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and with each other. Pray for one another and love one another and forgive one another and put up with one another and refuse to be critical of each other and to refuse to say, oh, I would never do what they're doing. I can't believe their kid did that. Oh, I'm better than them. God, save us. So don't expect to believe that you truly are a believer and have the assurance John wants us to grab if you don't have fellowship with God and with one another. But notice the second assurance there in verse 7. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. So we're walking in the light, and we'll see later, confessing sin. We love God's people. We love God. We have this amazing assurance that the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us. Therefore, it's assurance we are truly saved. So if you do not love God's people, you do not love being with them, there is a problem. If you say but you don't, there is a problem. And you cannot have assurance that the blood of Jesus on the cross has truly cleaned out your sin. You know, I wrote this down. I thought this was amazing. I find it amazing here that walking in the light is possible even though we still sin. Isn't that amazing? I think that is amazing. Because look what it says there. Why do we still need continual cleansing? Because we still sin. And in chapter 2, we'll see he's writing so you don't sin. But then he says, but by the way, you're going to sin. And we have an advocate, a lawyer, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing that each and every day we can walk in the light, love the light, love one another, and still fail miserably and still walk in the light? Because we'll be sensitive about that. And this is assurance that his blood purifies us, cleans us completely from our sin, our only remedy and rescue. And even though you and I will still look down deep into our hearts, and you know what you're going to see? Even if you're walking in the light, you're still going to see arrogance, aren't you? Sin's a monster. The power's been defeated, but it hangs around, and hangs around. He's like Ernest T. Bass. He always has a rock to throw at you. Thank you, old people, got that. Unthankfulness will still be in your heart. Were you unthankful this week? Don't raise your hand, because in my mind's eye, I can see your hand raised. Selfishness. Were you selfish this week? Selfish. Did you experience lust this week? How about greed? Were you lazy this week? Did you have any impure thoughts this week? Did you have any thoughts of hatred this week? Did you blow it with your children this week? Did you scream at him, yell at him, throw a fork at him? What'd you do? A plastic fork. A Nerf fork. Did you blow it with them this week? Did you say things to your children you shouldn't have? Were you the loving, caring, selfish husband this week you were called to be? Did you show patience and grace to your wife this week? Did you show loving grace and patience to your husband this week? Were you kind and caring when he came home and had a rough day? What came out of your mouth this week that grieved God? Did you have any desires show up this week that reminded you about darkness? Guess what? In this room, every one of those things I mentioned were probably committed this week. Because sin will never leave us. And John says we can be walking in the light. Assurance, we have fellowship one with another. God the light, another little light that he made light through the blood of his son. And we have this awesome assurance that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all those things I just said. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever had somebody hurt you with deep down inside? I mean hurt you. We killed Jesus. Yes, by the foreknowledge of God the Father, I understand the theological doctrinal truth, which is absolutely glorious when you tie it all together. But he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Wow. To know that even as believers, we can still struggle. And to know that his son shed blood continually every second of the day forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. And we'll tie this in as we get further, probably next week. And this does not mean that we're okay to live in these sins, because John teaches the exact opposite. You know what? If this monster's inside of me, I might as well do it, right? I might as well chew my wife out this week because it feels pretty good. I might as well let my kids have it because I had a bad day and how dare they come home with homework. I'm convinced homework is of the devil. Because if my kids were third, fourth, fifth grade, that's why I'm bald. I pulled my hair out. And it said the answer's in the book. No, it's not. You see, we will struggle to the day we die with sin. And John wants us to know that this wonderful Savior, and look what he did. He shed his blood. I think this week's reading, where I'm at reading through the Bible this year, was Isaiah 53. Wow. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was stricken. We esteemed him not. It pleased the Lord Jehovah to bruise him. In fact, it says he did not even look like a man on that cross. Those pictures you see of Jesus on the cross, put them in the garbage, they're not true. There was nothing in his appearance that would cause us to go, man, I'm going to follow Jesus. He's pretty good looking. And when you see a movie about Jesus, who always plays Jesus? Good looking guys, right? Isaiah said he didn't have anything about him where you'd go, man, I want to follow him. I always wonder, what did he really look like? I think we'd be shocked, because it was his person, his light, his holiness. And Isaiah describes what he did, and he was rejected. He was despised. And he carried our sin, and it was so horrible. But on the cross, God the Father turned, and Jesus poured out, why have you forsaken me? Because I can't look on sin. And he did that for us. And we have this assurance that as our advocate, he continues to cleanse us over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I struggle with that. Do you? How could he forgive me? No, he can't. He can't forgive me. There's no way. How wonderful to see a video of a guy that was just caught up in sin. And now he's teaching at Moody Bible Institute. That's just amazing. What's in your life? And we're going to talk about this more. We're going to close. We want to get to point three today. But I know people who just will not let God forgive them. They won't. They just won't. And they, like a pig, they get in the mud and they wallow around and I did this, and they can tell you the date and they can tell you the month, and they are grieved by it, but they simply will not know they can still walk in the light, because the fellowship we have stems from the light, verse 5, causes us to be little lights, even though we still struggle with sin, but we have this assurance, I'm forgiven. Wow, what a great song we just sang. One thing remains, His love. His love. That He loves the one whose heart He's opened that maybe killed a fetus in the womb, abortion, who was caught up in drugs, who may be murdered, who maybe lived an adulterous life of sexual sin and drugs and drunkardness, if that's a new word. I like the Bible word better than alcoholism. I just do. Sounds more like sin. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Maybe I've been divorced. Maybe there's a stigma on my life that people know. And to be able to say and know with an assurance, I am cleansed. God doesn't hold that against me. It's not, I'll go out and do what I want. No, I'm sorry that I did that, but He has forgiven me of my sin. Father in heaven, oh, it'd be awesome just to sit here and go through this entire text, but I'm so glad You had John write this epistle. I'm so glad. Because I'd get up every day thinking, I'm lost. To know that even though I'm marred with sin, I can still walk according to the light. Even though I got a lot of drops of evil in me. To know that every day, when I blow it with my kids, when I blow it with my parents, when I blow it at work, when I blow it in the home, when I say things I shouldn't say, when I have things in my past, to know that I can have assurance because I love Your people, I love You, God, and Your Son's blood cleanses me from all of my sin. Thank You for the assurance of Your love, that it remains and will always remain. So, Lord, I pray, if there's anyone here today that has been saying, but their life has not been doing and they've been fooled, may You open their heart, reveal their sin, give them the gift of life that they may call upon Your Son. Cleanse me from my sin. I repent. Save my soul, my Lord and my Savior. Lord, if there are any here today that are living in sin and they are experiencing the conviction and the grieving that comes from that, I pray that You'd give them the gift of repentance. And help them to begin walking in the light. And Lord, before I say amen, I thank You, Lord, for letting us know that this three-letter word sin is never going to leave us until the day, even when our body is in the grave, sin will still be coursing through that physical body and will not be made new until the resurrection. Thank You for letting us know that, but letting us know the power's been destroyed and we can still walk pleasing You, even though it's a battle every second of the day. Lord, we're going to sing, I Surrender All, knowing that we'll never surrender all. But we can sing this song knowing that's our heart. So God, today, if that's somebody's heart that's not here today, or they're here today and it's not their heart, I pray that they would pray and confess and repent. Do a spiritual work in our hearts. I pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen.